The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
A very good afternoon, Rolien. How are you today?
A very good afternoon to you too. Good and yourself?
Very, very well. Just freezing cold, but otherwise we are all good, thank you. So, Rolien, we have a possible date for Israel's upcoming elections, and now the race to the polls begins. So, when are the possible elections?
So we're looking at a possible date of the 1st of November. There was some debate whether or not it would be the end of October. Some thought maybe September, so that we could try and get this issue sorted out as quickly as possible. But it is likely, because we still have legal issues to iron out. And of course, we have a whole host of Chagim coming up. We have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and that puts a kind of a spoke in the wheel of the election cycle. So it is likely, but not confirmed, that the 1st of November will be election day, or ice cream day, as we call it here in Israel.
Ice cream day, I love that. And it seems to be an unusually long election cycle. So, I mean, what happens now?
Well, it is a longer election cycle, and this does give the parties time to, if they need to, hold primaries, get their lists together. If you want to know how Israel's electoral system works, we work on a system of proportional representation. So what parties have to do is they provide to the Knesset Electoral Committee, they'll provide a list of the likely candidates that will be MKs, members of Knesset. And that is dished out proportionate to the amount of votes they get. Very, very democratic, very, very complicated. There are some rumors, there have been some talks that there is a possibility of Likud having primaries. That we don't know for definite yet, but a lot of scrambling and trading behind the scenes starts to happen now. And of course, politicking. We'll be hearing in the next couple of weeks what everybody's platforms, or as we in modern times call it, slang fights, will be in the run-up to the elections. No word yet if Prime Minister Bennett is going to continue. There has been some speculation that he could take a break from his political career, but nothing has been confirmed yet. So very mixed feelings from Israelis, some very happy that we're going to elections, others are very frustrated, thinking we don't need this right now. We've had, as all countries have had, a very, very difficult 2 years filled with turmoil. We've got other big issues on the scene here in Israel. Do we really, really need this turmoil added into the mix? But as our first Prime Minister, David Ben-Gurion, once said, to live in Israel, you've got to be a realist and believe in miracles. So a country as frog in my throat, excuse me.
No problem.
A country as tiny as us can deal with a whole lot.
Absolutely. I think that's quite obvious now. And Prime Minister Bennett, you mentioned his name a few minutes ago. So Prime Minister Bennett, he gave an interview to the New York Times earlier this week. What did he actually say in that interview?
Well, there's been some criticism why he would talk to the New York Times. And it's not for, you know, reasons that some people might think, you know, the New York Times not being a great friend of Israel. We still can't forget that this is still a highly respected publication. But some say, you know, with everything that has happened, and this coalition government not lasting, was it really the responsible thing to give an interview to the New York Times? But I think he wanted to have his say. Some advisors would have advised him differently, but he wanted to have his say. He addressed the issue of the coalition, and he said, you know, he doesn't see it as a failure. He sees it as maybe it wasn't the quantity of time, but it certainly was the quality. Israel has shown the world that we can bring together different parties with divergent opinions and ideologies and find a way to work together. You know, he also addressed the threat posed by Iran, which is also possibly the reason why he gave this interview, is to drive home the threat that not just Israel, but the whole region faces. And when he was asked, will there be normalization with the Saudis, he said, I don't want to speculate on these things. And what is very, very interesting to see today is, and we're going to talk about it in a minute or two, is our foreign minister Yair Lapid is in Turkey to meet with his counterpart at the same time as a Saudi delegation, and they've actually greeted each other, they've spoken to each other. And we had news earlier today that the State Department Special Envoy on Anti-Semitism, Deborah Lipstadt, is headed her first international trip is to Saudi Arabia to work with the Saudis, you know, to change their image, to work with them on, you know, ending the perceptions that people may have and working on how to address issues of education and normalizing the situation of Jews and the understanding of Jewish history. So I think a lot has been said without being said. So I think we're in for interesting times.
Absolutely. And just in connection, we were chatting just now about Prime Minister Bennett. So Roland has sent me a message. Ah, yes, the New York Times. What a bastion of true and objective reporting and of journalistic excellence. Splendid from a Roland. Well, thank you for that, Roland. Wow. It's always good to know that people are listening. And yeah, people enjoy this show. So, Roline, Israel adopts the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism and has been elected president of the IHRA for 2025. What is the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism?
So the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, or IRA as we call it, is based or proposed by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, and which is an independent body, and it is seen as the benchmark. It is seen as the non-binding legal definition by what we define or clarify as anti-Semitism. And since the initiating of IRA, we've seen over 30 countries adopt it. Many institutions around the world adopted it. There has been some criticism because it quite unequivocally states anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism. And some people say, yes, but you know, it says you can't criticize Israel. Let me be very clear. You can criticize Israeli policy, but saying that Jews have no right to a nation state of their own, or Israel has no right to exist, or Jews have no right to self-determination that we call Zionism, that is anti-Semitism. And the IRA definition makes that very, very clear. So yesterday, our Knesset, last night, our Knesset voted to adopt IRA. This is a historic decision, says our Knesset Speaker, Mickey Levy. He says the Knesset is the parliament of the Jewish people. Now, I know some people might be saying, well, why didn't Israel adopt it in the first place? Well, I think the initial reasoning is, you know, does the Jewish state need to adopt a definition on defining anti-Semitism? But turns out we did. And then the great news coming in this morning that at the conference that is taking place in Stockholm, Sweden at the moment, this is the IRA plenary session, it was voted unanimously that Israel will assume the presidency of IRA in 2025, which is a portfolio which will be shared between our Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Yad Vashem. And it's a very, very important year because this 2025 will mark 80 years since the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp. So it really is an extraordinary moment for Israel. And as Yair Lapid, our foreign minister / interim prime minister / soon to be caretaker prime minister, says that We thank IRA for the work it has carried out since its founding in the fight against anti-Semitism and are thankful for our election as president of IRA. As the son of a Holocaust survivor, I see it as a personal privilege and duty to continue the preservation of the memory of the Holocaust and the constant fight against anti-Semitism wherever it rears its head, which I think is a duty for all of us.
Absolutely. And Ronnie, just really quickly, why is this so important?
It's very important. We're seeing anti-Semitism at astronomical levels around the world. And as time marches on and we lose our precious survivors, so too does it open up the opportunity for those who want to deny the Holocaust or engage in what we call Holocaust revisionism. So it is hugely important that we have this, that we take on the mantle of keeping memory and education alive.
Absolutely. And Ronan just, Ronan just very quickly has come back to us and said, my sarcasm hasn't been lost on you guys, right? But, no, it hasn't.
I did have a giggle too.
I'm sure you did. Rolene Marks with our update, our Israel report. Thank you so much and have a good evening.